You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 7th of January, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org, and it is actually Orthodox Christmas today, so I'm very grateful for you coming on today. Matt, happy Christmas to you. How are you doing?
Thank you. Almost 20 years ago, my father died today of old days. He was very proud of the fact that he dispatched several dozen Chinese communists in the Korean War with his Browning automatic rifle. And he was very supportive of me going into this field and doing this kind of work. So it's an auspicious day for a whole bunch of reasons.
Well, it's interesting that he was behind you. I mean, a lot of our families don't get behind us when we start getting involved in this sort of thing, and a lot of people end up falling out with them. So I'm very pleased that he supported you in this. And really, I mean, I wonder what he would have made of events yesterday if he'd been around today. Yesterday was just really came out of the blue, really. I wasn't expecting the Capitol to be stormed in the way that it was. I had No White Guilt and Dr. Patrick Slattery on the show yesterday, and they were saying that the plan was to have loads of people outside there. There was about 1 million people there, and the plan was to have a show of strength, and then when the votes were counted, within the building itself, when the Republicans said that we were objecting to this, we want an investigation. And Pence was supposed to say, have you got a senator? They did have a senator. Then there was supposed to be debate. There was supposed to be investigation. Evidence was supposed to be shown. That could take hours for each one. And the worry was that Pence was just going to gavel his way through this, which he shouldn't do because they did have senators there. And then once this pitch invasion happened, which really looked like they were trying to occupy the place, This gave all these senators the excuse to say, well, we're not supporting it anymore. And as it was happening, I was thinking, now that they're in there, they've got to try and stay in there. They've got to occupy the place and they've got to make their demands. And their demands have got to be that the evidence needs to be investigated. There needs to be an investigation into voter fraud. That's all these people wanted. And of course, it's being portrayed as if they were terrorists and they were all steaming in there just to cause trouble. They just want to put Donald Trump back in there as president. No, that's not it. They don't want the election to be stolen from them. It's the biggest theft that has ever occurred right in front of everybody's faces. That's what people are protesting about. And there were positive sides to this yesterday. It was good to see that for once, these traitors actually looked a little bit fearful. They actually realized that there is what the strength of feeling against them is. But the crackdown on this now afterwards, I really fear about that. I've got lots of topics to get into here, Matt, but what were your thoughts on the events that happened yesterday?
For one thing, I was upset by the reaction from our side, very fearfully condemning all of this. And I immediately thought of the Declaration of Independence, where it explicitly says that, you know, after a long train of abuses and usurpations, it is our right, duty, in fact, to throw off such a usurper. Jefferson was extremely clear. When, you know, we all use the Tree of Liberty quote over and over again, but he also said in that very same letter to William Smith in 1787. He said, what country can preserve its liberties if their rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance. This is obviously a form of usurpation. There's a long train of abuses, you know, censorship and people losing their jobs and being maliciously prosecuted and all the rest of it. It would be shocking if something like this didn't happen, however unorganized it was. They killed at least one woman. And I think the media is already saying somehow she deserved it or whatever it is, or they're covering it over entirely. So, you know, like I think a lot of us, there are some of us are exhilarated, but some of us are also extremely fearful at the same time, given what the regime now is going to do in retaliation.
Well, there are a lot of very, very upset people out there. It does seem as if this was allowed to happen. I've seen the video of when they broke through the police lines. You can hardly call it police lines. There was a flimsy metal fence there, three or four police that were there, a huge crowd of Trump supporters that had been marching towards the Capitol after Trump finished his speech. And they pretty much, within 30 seconds, they pulled the fences up. They were climbing over the fences. The police were retreating. They allowed this to happen. They allowed the Trump supporters to get in there because they wanted to portray them as violent. Of course, they weren't violent. I think a couple of windows were broken. That's about it. And it looks like somebody that broke those windows, he may not have even been a Trump supporter. And he certainly wasn't doing the rest of them any favors by behaving like that. It seemed that when these protesters got within the Capitol, they wanted to take pictures of themselves in there. And they went in the offices, I think. But they didn't do anything like the damage that we saw this summer carried out by Black Lives Matter. You think this took place in Washington, D.C. Back in May and June, if you were in Washington, D.C., every direction you looked was on fire, where Black Lives Matter had set fire to everything. And the press praised them for this. And the police got down on their knees for this. And everybody was saying, if you allow this to happen, Other groups in society are going to think that it's okay to do this. And of course, this is why the Trump protesters did that yesterday. That's now acceptable behavior because the press praised Black Lives Matter for doing this. Of course, we know that white people can't get away with doing that. So, of course, somebody was shot. An unarmed protester was shot in the face. A female protester, her name was Ashley Babbitt. She was a veteran in the American Air Force. Apparently there were three other people are dead as well. Apparently she was shot by a black cop as well, allegedly. I can't actually confirm that. So we have a white woman unarmed, shot dead by the police. Is there any calls for White Lives Matter and we need a big movement against this racist killing of this white woman? Of course we're not going to hear anything like that. Like you just said then, Matt, what we've seen is we've seen journalists saying she deserved this. We've seen Mike Pence describe her as a terrorist. And these people are seriously upset at having the election stolen from them. All they want is an investigation, and they're now being portrayed as terrorists. I have a clip from this killing here, but do you want to make any comments on that, on the way the press has been reporting this, Matt, before we play this clip?
Well, none of it is any surprise. I want to point out, too, that for the first 2 years of the 1970s, the left set off 2,000 bombs across the United States, burnt down almost every ROTC office on every campus in America, and to this day are praised for it. The left functions entirely by violence and tyranny. Every regime that they've ever ran has come to power by force of arms, from the French Revolution to this one. And these people now are going to rule almost entirely by brute force. To this day, they're not even going to defend this ridiculous usurpation and this fraudulent election. But what angers me the most is these middle-class Republicans now scared to death. I mean, you know, the American Revolution began over very minor issues. 3% tax on tea, a few other things. Not exactly a big deal here. We're talking about the complete takeover, fraudulently, of the federal apparatus. And now Donald Trump has to be extremely frightened because there are every newspaper saying the exact same thing. They're saying that he's in incitement plus everything else that we're going to try to get him for. He's going to have to leave the country. And I hate to see what's going to happen to him and the betrayal that that man has to feel. All these people who he promoted and supported now turning on him, shaking in fear, is unfortunately still not a giant surprise to me.
Well, this has been the problem all along, isn't it? Whoever he wants to put in there, they have to get voted on by the Senate, and the Senate is full of the swamp creatures. And this is what's happening now. Because they refuse to investigate this, they are saying we are ruling by force. There's no legitimacy. There's no mandate to Joe Biden, who couldn't get more than 10 people to turn up at his rallies. There were a million people there yesterday for Donald Trump. There was over 70 million votes for him, genuine votes. The votes that came in for Biden, they were fake votes. And we could see that on the graph with a sudden voter dump. And incidentally, the election that took place in Georgia has exactly the same pattern. It has exactly the same statistical anomaly that you just statistically, you just could not get. The Democrat line just suddenly jumps up in the air and overtakes the Republican line, goes up completely vertically straight, which is an impossibility. So they've done exactly the same thing with those Dominion voting machines. They've done exactly the same thing in the next election. And there's nothing to stop them from doing that in all elections now. And where you were saying about how the left and the campaign of terror that they have carried out, I've got some other instances here where the left have occupied buildings. The anti-Kavanaugh protesters took over the Hart Senate office building, the atrium on Capitol Hill, very recently, last year, I believe. Democrat activists stormed and then occupied the Wisconsin Capitol building for a month, and the media adored them for doing so. In 1967, armed Black Panthers invaded the Capitol building and nobody got shot. And they're trying to say that the people that were there yesterday, they were actually armed. They weren't armed because nobody was allowed to bring any arms with them. I mean, that was one of the stipulations, I think, that Mayor Bowser put in before people actually went there. Now, I have a clip here of somebody that was there, and he's being interviewed straight away after this woman was shot. And it's very, very interesting what he actually has to say. So I'll just play that now, Matt. It's about 2 minutes long. You should hear it as well, and then we'll discuss it afterwards.
First and last name, and where you're from?
Yeah, I'm Thomas Barani from New Jersey.
Can you show us your hand?
Yeah.
How did you get that on your hand?
Well, we had stormed into the chambers inside, and there was a young lady who rushed through the windows. A number of police and Secret Service were saying, get back, get down, get out of the way. She didn't heed the call, and as we kind of raced up to grab people and pull them back, they shot her in the neck, and she fell back on me and started saying she was fine, it's cool. And then she started kind of like moving weird, and blood was coming out of her mouth and neck and nose, and I don't know if she's alive or dead anymore.
And how did you get back out of the building?
Riot police came in and started ushering us out with their sticks.
Where did you enter the building and where did you exit?
Other side with the scaffolding. We tore through the scaffolding through flashbangs and tear gas and blitzed our way in through all the chambers, just trying to get into Congress or whoever we could get into and tell them that we need some kind of investigation into this. And what ends up happening is someone might have ended up dead. And that's not the kind of government we can have. People have to do something about it. I can't.
If you need any help at all, EMS is right there.
I'm not injured. It could have been me, but she went in first. One of us.
Thank you for telling us your story.
Yeah. Just make sure people know, because this cannot stand anymore. This is wrong. They don't represent anyone. Not Republican, Democrat, Independent, nobody. And now they'll kill people.
Who are you saying will kill people?
I don't. Police, congressmen and women, they don't care. I mean, they think we're a joke. $2,000 checks was a joke to them. You know, there's people filming us, laughing at us as we march down the street at the Department of Justice. There's a man in the window laughing at us, filming us. And here, it was a joke to them until we got inside, and then all of a sudden, guns came out. But I mean, we're at a point now, it can't be allowed to stand. We have to do something. People have to do something, because this could be you or your kids.
Peaceful protesters, completely peaceful. That's not a terrorist. That's not someone going there to cause trouble. That's someone going there to say someone needs to investigate the allegations of the voter fraud. And you can see that he brought in there as well the fact that those checks were stopped. And people are only going to get a $600 check instead of a $2,000 check. And they haven't been allowed to work for 6 months. You've got an incredible strength of feeling there that Donald Trump has become the avatar for, and they're just ignoring it. I mean, they are ruling by force now. There's no legitimacy to Joe Biden. There's no legitimacy to what is going on. And unfortunately, this played into the Republican senators not wanting to back Donald Trump, because all of those senators that were going to back the complaints and ensure that the evidence was going to be looked into, they all backed down. This Kelly Loeffler, she had said that she was going to back them. She was going to do that. And she gave this speech saying, like, oh, I can't possibly do it now. Can't possibly do it now that, you know, that there's been this direct action right in the middle of the Capitol there. It just gave them the excuse that they wanted. Do you think that if they'd been allowed to look through the evidence and investigate it, that there might have actually been a change, Matt? Or do you think that they just would have ignored that and hammered their way through it anyway? So at least we did get this small win of being able to go in there and show them the strength of feeling. Or do you think it would have been better for them to actually go through the legitimate investigation? What do you think, Matt?
Well, what some of these politicians were saying is a non sequitur. It doesn't follow logically that there was a legitimate act of protest. Therefore, we can't look into the evidence for voter fraud. That doesn't make any sense. One has nothing to do with the other. They looked into the Vietnam War despite the country being in flames. One has nothing to do with the other. The big difference here, of course, for example, the George Floyd thing was a media invention. The media organized and created these mobs to burn down random cities and attack people for being white, where in this case, it's a clear, blatant case of usurpation, a violent takeover of the federal apparatus, which the entire American political tradition, actually the political tradition of every country on the planet, justifies this kind of protest against. That's the big difference between the left and the right here. Violence, of course, is legitimate if it has the proper end and is carried out in the proper way and is done with, you know, very, very clear, you know, moral end in view. I think of Shays' Rebellion, one of my favorite topics in American history. These people have been tormented over the last, you know, decades, you know, getting fired from jobs, the economy tanking, globalization, being removed from universities, losing their accounts, not able to use whether it be PayPal or American Express or anything else, easy divorce. I mean, you can go on and on and on. What's been rubbed in their face, and then on top of it all, you have, you know, Black Lives Matter, the COVID nonsense, and now the blatant takeover, not just of the federal government, but then doing it again in Georgia, which is a huge middle finger to us. They're rubbing our nose in it, saying, "What are you going to do about it?" Then they get shocked when people do something about it. If there's ever a justification for this kind of protest, it's now. And the regime is very much aware of it. What the guy from New Jersey said was incorrect when he said they don't represent anybody. Oh, no, yes, they do. This is the Democratic Party who represents the oligarchy. And the Republicans now, you know, it's all one movement. They're saying the exact same thing, though, for different reasons. Well, they certainly do. And they represent the far left in this country wherever they can be found. And that's how it's been for a very long time. The good news is that for anyone to deny this, you know they're lying. For someone to deny this, it's not a matter of principled disagreement. They're just scared. So now we've moved from simply disagreeing with someone to just not respecting them.
Well, there have been other reports of people that have been killed, and it's being reported as if there were four people that were killed by the Trump supporters. Now, we know one of them was actually killed by an unarmed protester, and she was actually killed by the cop. But I've been looking around trying to find out what happened to these other three people that were killed and that are making a big thing of. And I found this: one adult female and two adult males appear to have suffered from separate medical emergencies, which resulted in their deaths. Any loss of life in the district is tragic, and our thoughts are with anyone impacted by their loss. DC Fire and Emergency Medical Services transported people to area hospitals with injuries ranging from cardiac arrest to multiple fractures after falling from scaffolding on the west front of the Capitol building. However, city officials did not say whether any of these people are the ones now deceased. So it looks like the other three just died possibly by falling off the scaffolding. So there was no deaths that were caused by the Trump supporters. The killing was caused by the police, and yet they're being portrayed as if they are terrorists. And it really does seem to me as if this was planned. Straight away, Trump sent out a video, a very well-worded video, in actual fact, trying to calm things down. He wasn't insulting the protesters, wasn't trying to agitate them so that maybe they would set fire to things or do anything bad. He was speaking very kindly to them, saying, look, I understand how stressed you are having the election stolen like this, but this is not the way to go about it. You need to leave there peacefully. You need to leave there peacefully. And Twitter banned it and said that this was encouraging violence. Facebook, just before we went on air, said that they are banning Donald Trump for the next 2 weeks because he's encouraging violence. All he was doing, and this is because he mentioned the fact that there is this question over the election. And straight after Trump had done this, Biden came up and the television stations weren't showing the Trump speech. You had to look at YouTube or alternative sites to actually see Trump's speech. Instead of showing what the president was saying, they were showing what their favorite so-called president-elect is saying. He was in front of his banner saying the office of the president-elect again. Of course, there is no such thing as the office of president-elect. And he was there saying that Trump must call for an end to this siege. And it wasn't a siege. And by the time Biden came out with this, the people were peacefully leaving. And yet he was referring to it as a siege. I think he wanted it to be a siege. And he was calling the people in there terrorists. He was calling it an insurrection. Obviously, trying to stoke things. He was trying to get the people that were in there to start kicking off and setting fire to things and what have you. But they didn't. They didn't do that at all. And Trump is still being censored now. As I say, he's been removed completely from Facebook for this. But his actual response to it, I thought, was very good. But this is what we've seen for the last month, isn't it? They've just been censoring the president of America. So the rest of the world, unless you're following alternative media, the rest of the world thinks that it's Trump that's in the wrong here. And he's the one with the insurrection. Not that there's been a coup carried out by the Democrats and the oligarchs and big tech, the unholy trinity that we have there. Matt, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm certain that foreign intelligence, at least among the major powers, is very much aware of what happened. Don't forget that the U.S. government not only encouraged but paid for the violent takeover of Kiev in Ukraine in 2014. They paid for and encouraged the Hong Kong rioters to do the exact same thing just this year. This is in Belarus, wherever you go. This is a normal MO for the State Department around the world, usually for issues of far less importance than what's happening here. There really is no other way to challenge it. You know what you do, vote? Anyone who votes now is a fool. Well, I've been saying that for many, many years. Now, of course, I've been proven correct. There's no point in voting now. Because we know how little it means. They're going to keep doing this. And it appears that we're entering an era where you have one party is going to take over everything, with the Republicans constantly on the defensive, constantly apologizing to the left. And if they don't, they'll simply use, whether it be Antifa or Black Lives Matter, against them until they give in. And so, you know, voting doesn't do anything. We need to boycott these elections from here on in. There really is no other way to rectify this except through protest.
Didn't in Armenia recently, didn't they manage to occupy their government building and nobody was shot? But in these other instances that you're bringing up there, Matt, in Ukraine and elsewhere, when this sort of thing happens, they've got these big financial backers. They've got the West, they've got these American backers that are funding this, that have got it all worked out. Whereas there was none of that yesterday. All it was yesterday was just not properly guarding the Capitol and knowing that the people are that angry, they're going to go in there. So once they'd gone in there, they were like, well, what do we do now? What do we do now? And I think the Biden and the rest of them and the rest of the swamp creatures, they were hoping that they were going to set fire to it or do some real damage so that they could declare them all terrorists and declare anybody that supports Donald Trump as a terrorist. And at least they're not going to be able to do that now. I think the people that were in there, on the majority of them, they were fairly well behaved. You know, they didn't set fire to anything or anything like that. It was just pretty much taking selfies. And the shot that I did see of somebody that was just, you know, just total vandalism. He was just smashing a window for completely no reason whatsoever. And others pulled him away. They were actually shouting Antifa at him. And they pulled him away and stopped him from smashing this window. So I think this was more a show of how upset people are rather than trying to take over the capital, take the country back or anything like that, because they didn't have the backing. And that wasn't their intention. They just wanted to draw attention to the fact that there has been this fraud. There's been no investigation. And where are the forces of law and order in this? It's all very well Donald Trump tweeting law and order, law and order. Where are the forces of law and order? Why haven't they investigated these allegations of fraud? Why do we keep being told that there is no evidence of fraud? They're baseless allegations, we keep being told. We saw it happen on our own TV screens. We saw the votes get... We saw Trump's vote tally go down and we saw Biden's vote tally go up. We saw the people that the hosts on the television news networks looking at it and scratching their heads and saying, well, I've never seen that happen before. But of course, it can't happen unless the votes have been switched. We've seen the audits of these machines, and these machines were specifically created so that they would do that sort of thing. And they've been used in Venezuela for that sort of thing. This is before you even get onto all the dead people that voted and all the mail-in fraud. I mean, there is masses and masses and masses of evidence of this, and we've seen no police investigation of it. We've just seen the mainstream media tell us that, oh, there's no evidence, when we see that there is evidence. I don't know where things can go from here, apart from Donald Trump declaring martial law. And even if he does that, will he have the support? I mean, where does he stand in with the Constitution and with law and all the rest of it if he declares martial law, Matt? Do you know?
Well, this is a completely unprecedented experience. There's been vote fraud before, like in my favorite election in 1960. But there, it really didn't matter. I mean, Nixon and Kennedy didn't disagree on a whole lot. Nixon conceded, knowing full well that he actually won the election, although only by a small amount. Now you have, you know, left and right are legitimately polarized, as it should be, because truth by definition is polarizing. Truth by definition divides people. There's nothing wrong with that. And facts and the truth are the only thing that matters here. But where he stands, as anyone would stand, and he's just one of us, only in the sense that when the government loses its legitimacy and has no right to rule, that naturally, according to natural law, reverts to the people. And when I say people, I'm not referring to this faceless mass. I'm referring to the rational, productive elements of American society, people who build rather than destroy. That's the people in you know, quotation marks. They're the ones then who have the authority to do what needs to be done. But what's going to happen to Trump is – now, that's really the big issue here. They were going to arrest him for a whole bunch of things before. Now they have this. The press will begin inventing stories. You know, if there were no fires, they'll publish pictures of fires from a year ago and say it was here. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. They're creating a narrative right now. The newspapers, just the front page, all saying the exact same thing. Articles saying the exact same thing with the exact same verbiage. So a script has been given, and it upset me. You played that clip of the kid. The woman asked who's they, and he couldn't answer, which is a problem because, you know, there is this ruling class that is very amorphous, but they're very real. We know who they are institutionally speaking, but because we have no real ideological unity, we have no competent leadership, which is kind of hard to blame because anyone who takes that leadership position is going to have a miserable life. And therefore, any real protest is going to be sporadic like this, despite being in the millions. I quoted Jefferson at the beginning of this thing, saying that this kind of rebellion is necessary to remind the ruling class that the people still retain the desire for revolt. Otherwise, it's lethargy, and lethargy means total domination by the forces of evil. Right in that letter from 1787 to William Smith, Jefferson lays out the whole theory. But of course he's going to say that, because the whole Declaration of Independence is based on that. The entire existence of the country is based on that. So to hear these middle-class Republicans cowering, apologizing to everybody, is far worse than what the controlled media is saying on their front page.
Well, how can the Democrats hope to govern a country like that? I mean, it is just so blatant. You can't just steal an election like that. And it obviously was stolen. Otherwise, Biden would say, well, please do go ahead, investigate these allegations. And he hasn't said that because he knows it's a stolen election. That's all they would have to do is investigate the fraud. Has there been fraud? Has there not been fraud? It's so simple, so that whoever is leading the country is leading it legitimately. He's got no interest in leading it legitimately. I mean, I'm just shocked that it is so blatant, and the way that the media is portraying it, saying that these Trump supporters were terrorists and all they want is to see Trump in power. It's not that. It's the fact that there has been this massive fraud. It was good to finally see some of them looking a little bit worried, but they weren't worried. You know, I've got a final quote here from Twitter, which I thought was quite good. It says, "Scared for their lives, they were behind a wall with guns pointed at unarmed protesters that had been let in by the Capitol Police." And that's what really went on there. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.